Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me, for the first time ever in the podcast history, are two simultaneous guests, and they are the author of My Steam Engine is Broken and Perform to Win, Dr. Mark Powell and Jonathan Gifford. How are you today, guys?
We're good, thank you. Good to be here.
Excellent.
Absolutely fantastic. We're very happy to have you here in the studio today, as the relaunch of the podcast is going strong. And as I said, you are the first duo guest we've ever had. And for the audience, Mark is a business writer, consultant, and entrepreneur. He spent 10 years as an associate fellow at the Oxford State Business School, where he specialized in designing and directing senior executive leadership programs. He lectures on subjects including strategy, development, leadership, power and influence, strategic relationship building, and customer and employee engagement. And he was one of the first UK gurus in the Future World Network. Mark also read economics and management and gained a PhD in organizational behavior from the University of Cambridge. John, on the other hand, is a business author whose books include History Lessons, Blindset, 100 Great Leadership Ideas, 100 More Great Leadership Ideas, and 100 Great Business Leaders. His books have been translated into Chinese, Korean, Thai, and Indonesian. Jonathan's previous career was in newspapers and magazines. He was the launch publisher of BBC History Magazine. And that's quite a lot of information to take in, so...
A lot.
Absolutely. But without further ado, again, thank you very much, guys. And my first question for you is, the one that I ask all of the guests here is, what inspired you to write Perform to Win?
I think it was inspired by a program I was running at Oxford. And what we were finding was more and more, the only way you could actually get senior execs to actually behave or learn different things was you had to engage them in a creative way. And so what we're finding was increasingly the only thing that would work with people to get them to think differently about a business context was working with performing artists, because people related to it and they remembered it. So I became increasingly focused and interested in how the performing arts themselves were tools for learning, very much so. So that's where the inspiration came from, very much out of working with hundreds of executives and taking them through experiences working with performing artists. And then I thought, actually, no one's ever really written anything about this, try to bring it to life outside of just a classroom environment. So that was kind of the inspiration for it.
And I met Mark actually through the program. He read one of my books, The History Lessons, an account of the great leaders from history, and invited me to do a morning session on what was then like a week-long session. So I met the delegates who were going through Mark's program. I suppose what inspired me about what Mark was doing was that Mark's, as well as his consultancy career, Mark is a ballroom dancer, and in fact a world championship winning ballroom dancer. I better let him tell the details of that story.
Oh, wow.
He'd used, what he was saying to me was that he'd realized that the way he worked together with his dance partner could be analyzed to a certain extent. There were things that they did that to develop winning dance performances, and he realized that was very different from what he did at work, that it was very different from what any of us do at work. So that was the genesis of the idea, if you like. And I used to play a lot of saxophone, sort of rhythm and blues and jazz, as well as my career in large organizations. And so I really got the notion that it's a different way of working together, and in many ways it's a much better way of working together, the ensemble approach.
Have you guys ever done a sort of duo, performance where you've taken up to the saxophone and Mark has perhaps shown some of his dancing skills?
Yes, I'm not sure how you combine sort of saxophone and dancing. I'm sure we can come up with something, but not quite. But I think, the point I think John's making, which I think is an interesting one, is one of the challenges around looking at performing arts and in a business context is most performing artists have very little experience of business context, and very few business people have an experience of performing arts at any kind of high level. So John was unusual because he had actually, he understood music to an extent, and I think so he had the same mindset I did. So I think what we found was there was just this natural connectivity, and a kind of passion for saying, actually, businesses can learn so much from performing arts if they understood where to look. And so a lot of the Perform to Win was around how do we translate what is very creative process to something that business people would relate to, which is kind of the challenge we set ourselves.
Something else that was very inspiring was that the program that Mark was running was for an oil and gas exploration company, and most of the delegates were engineers. They're technical guys, and they very much have the mindset that there's a problem and you get a fix, and that's the way that's done. So they were not the obvious audience, as it were, for the whole arts experience. And we talked to the HR director of the company afterwards, after many years. How many years was it, Mark? 4 years or something of the program. But they, one of their key objectives had been to give these guys a different kind of mindset, because they go out to different parts of the world. They work with quite complex teams of other stakeholders, and they experience very different cultures, and they experience a whole raft of problems that hit them, you know, day by day. So the objective, which was unusual in business, was to get these guys into a more open-minded kind of framework, and it would give them, to some extent, sort of improvisational skills, which is a real that's a real challenge, but it really worked. So the HR director would say, no, actually, right, you know, we do see a difference, and these guys are very different after they've been through the program. And the nice thing was, yeah, it's turning into money. Actually, they're making better decisions, and some of those decisions are making us more cash.
So they can prove that, the program is there and it works. Yeah. And it's very interesting that you say that, and it kind of leads into my next question, actually, is you've given us a great example of the program being, in application and working and providing results. But I guess my question is, how can the arts influence business leaders and managers today? I mean, what is it about them that just clicks?
It's actually a big question, you think. I think the fundamental starting point around the arts is that people think about the arts in a kind of art sense, right? You know, we look at it and it's nice to look at, whether it's pictures, yeah, or dancing, or it's nice to listen to. We particularly also look here at performing arts, right? The interesting about performing arts is they all have one or two interesting things in common that businesses can learn from. One is that there is no organization itself that gets in the way of creating great performance, right? If you are actors working together, if you're dancers working together, the only focus is how best to work together to achieve a performing outcome. Organizations don't have that luxury. They have lots of other stuff, the organization in its integral sense, that gets in the way of people performing together to create result. So at its rawest, arts is pure performance. It's pure performance, because it's all about, the only thing that determines a good performance is how people work together. So it's the absolute basis for organizations. I mean, I've spent 25 years in the corporate world, and I've learned the same thing. The only thing that decides whether one business does best than another ultimately is how their people work together.
Absolutely.
And what happens is the organization gets in the way, the structures, the metrics, gets in the way of enabling people just to let themselves perform together. In performing arts, you see that immediately, how that happens. And what it does is you can reconnect people back to the fundamental realities of how you generate performance, how people work together to achieve good results. And the other thing about arts is that we're all inherently creative people. Most people, no matter how corporate they are, have at some point in their life been into singing, acting, dancing, playing an instrument. So we all have that element. And so we find that with one or two exceptions, people absolutely relate to it. When you can show them and explain to them how great performing artists actually do work in practice, they do get it very, very quickly. And the trick then, as we've done with the book, is giving them a frame, giving them a structured concepts and ideas that they can take back and say, okay, I understand that. I engaged with it when I worked with those artists, and I can see how I can try to take that as an idea and do something with it in a business context.
Right.
I think one of the, we use it just in passing in the book, but I think a good example of a company that's kind of doing this and it's working is Apple. Everybody knows Apple. And Apple, through Jobs and Jonathan Ives, set out to put on a performance, if you like. So they actively said, we're not trying to sell you a computer, we're selling you an experience. You know, we're going to make you happy, we're going to help you to do all the, to be as creative as you possibly can. And you see that with things like the Apple stores, which were supposed to be impossible, and we were bound to lose money. I think they're actually the most valuable per square foot of any retail outlet, I believe. But the point was that Jobs was not happy that his computers were being sold in big box warehouses, and they were just piled in the corner, and the guy who was selling it to you didn't know anything about them. So he wanted to set up an experience that would be enjoyable. And then you walk into an Apple store, and you're already having fun. It's a great performance, it's a great show, and that really works, I think, for business people. They can see that if you get away from performance is all about my bottom line and think about, well, who is my audience, and am I really, are they loving the show? That's an interesting mindset shift, and again, it can be seen to work in business if you get that right.
Absolutely. I mean, the guys at the Genius Bar are always putting up a very engaging atmosphere. They interact with everyone that's coming in and out. Mm-hmm. And that's a great example. And actually, my next question for you guys is, you've both been into performing arts, you've done so much work in the field. Can you give us your top three lessons or tips that you learned from the arts and how we can apply it in our everyday work?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with one. I mean, I have several favourites. I think one of them for me is a concept of understanding the very big difference between inputs and outputs. And I'll relate it to dancing because that's kind of my world. So if you look at dancing, and obviously things like Strictly are very popular now, most people watch Strictly. And people watch dancers on Strictly and they watch the pros and the celebrities and they see someone doing kind of an action, a hip action in the dance or some description. And they go, that's great. If you ask them to recreate it without knowing what happens, they will just start to move their hips, which is completely wrong, because that's not how the action is created. The action is created by moving your feet. So dancers instinctively have a fundamental understanding of the difference between the visual you create is not created the way you think it is. So they focus a lot on the inputs that drive how it works. So the movement of feet drives the action. Simple. Businesses don't think like that. Businesses track outputs all the time. So all the metrics in businesses are geared around actual sales. They're geared around actual profits. They don't actually do enough to track, for example, the things that drive sales and drive profits, including how engaged their sales staff are. Do they have the right sales staff? Do they engage the right sales staff? Because those things actually drive the outputs. They don't think like that at all. So inputs and outputs and the real clarity between the two is something that is, to me, is one of the top three lessons, definitely.
One that really resonates with me is the whole ensemble approach, if you like. And I know from Mark's dance experience, he talks about the connection. So if dancers are really working well together, they have a really good connection. And that's partly physical and it's partly paying a really close attention to what the other partner is doing, which lets them do things apparently without planning, you know, at high speed incredibly well. And I think of it more from the musical ensemble side of things. But it is about having an intense awareness of what your partner is doing and bouncing off each other. So, you know, if the guy you're working with or the woman you're working with is brilliant, it's good for you. You get better as a result. And that kind of, we're working together to produce a great performance and I need you to be wonderful, you know, as much as I need to be wonderful myself. That's missing in most business, not completely, but, you know, but when teams work together like that, when teams become a genuine ensemble focused on, you know, the objective and working together, you know, happily, wonderfully, then stuff really begins to happen. So yeah, getting the ensemble mentality into business would make a huge difference to you know, employee engagement, for example.
right.
I think my third one would probably be the technical artistic dilemma, which is how I refer to it. If you basically, as we have done, work with, say, top professional dancers, and you ask them to dance a piece of choreography, technically perfect, and all arts have technique to it, right? And they'll dance it, and you look at it, and you'll go, wow, that's pretty amazing. And then they'll sit there and go, well, the only problem is there are 100 couples in the world who can do that. So the only thing that we have to spend most of our time is not always being technically really good. We have to be, because if you're not, you don't win. But more focus goes into what are the things we can do to put our own artistry into what we do to make us stand out differently. And the balance between thinking technically and thinking artistically is very, very different. And more of the effort goes into the artistry, which is how you play around with timings or how you present something or how you tell a story through dance or whatever it is. Businesses really struggle with that as an issue because businesses are very technically oriented as businesses. You know, they have ways of doing things. They produce presentations and make pitches. And I remember, I mean, there's a guy I did a session with, actually, and he was an MD of a business, and they were struggling in their market to compete. And I took him through a session with some dancers, and we explored the whole concept around the technical artistic sort of dilemma. And he said, you know, he said, that's our problem. He said, the problem is we, as a business, do everything technically really well, but we don't even spend time thinking about how do we add that other thing that makes us differentiate. And he said, the reality is we are losing because clients are telling us that you're as good as anybody else, but how are you different? And he said, and I ran into him a few months afterwards, and he said, you know what, the one thing he said, every day I do ask myself the question, you know, where is the art in what we do? And he said, and I'm asking my people that question, and they're starting to come up with ideas, you know, about how we can be more artistic. But businesses shy away from the concept of being artistic, because that's not very businessy. But it is really business, where innovation comes from. And businesses, I think, lose that sense of understanding the art and what they do. They become very technically, particularly as they get bigger.
Right. Very, very fascinating. And going back to the book... in Perform Twin, you argue that, you know, the managerial mindset of, you know, many companies and industries today are quite actually stuck in the industrial age of days gone by. Why do you think this is happening?
Well, that was actually the theme of our first book together, My Steam Engine is Broken, which is exactly that, but the most modern organisations are stuck in the mindset that was created really with the Industrial Revolution, when we started to make a lot of stuff and bring people into factories to, you know, do what they were told. we've got stuck with that sort of approach to we must just do things as efficiently as possible, we must have as much control as possible, we must measure everything that moves to make sure we're being as efficient as possible and so on. And I think we set up a number of paradoxes, and the first paradox is control. I think that's the problem. You know, when you're put in charge of a large company, a large organisation, it's a massive responsibility, and I think your first instinct is to control it. You know, how do I get control of this thing? And that then feeds into a number of not ideal mindsets, because you kind of have to let go. You kind of have to think, I'm directing this thing, I'm in charge of this thing, but I shouldn't be in control of it. You know, people need to be able to surprise me and do innovative stuff. So it's a complete mind shift to a different kind of approach, which I think is difficult. And I think we all tend towards the control mentality because it's kind of comforting, and we're all a bit scared of the out of control mentality because it sounds worrying. But that's the only way that exciting things can happen. You know, if you control things, it gets very boring very quickly.
Okay, perfect. And going to the next question, you guys both mentioned that you've been involved with performing arts yourselves, but do you have a favourite performing art and why?
It's an obvious one for me, it's dancing, because that's what I did for so long. I mean, I spent 25 years as an amateur professional Latin American dancer, so that was always my passion. You know, I think for me, the reason it was such a passion because there's such an incredible feeling of power in good performing arts, because there's nothing else, it's just you. If it works well, it's because you made it work well. If it works badly, so for me, dancing was always the thing. I don't dance anymore. I play drums instead, badly. But I think there is something also for me around everybody has an aspect of performing art in them. But something happens in education and the way business works. Most people fall out. I mean, I met recently a lady who's now working in the corporate world who was a professional ballerina. And she said, look, there are lots of people like us out there, you know, who want to change the way business thinks. So for me, I love all performing arts, but obviously dancing is my personal favourite.
I think for me it would have to be, in terms of performance, jazz. Just because jazz has to be a live performance, in my opinion. You know, a recording of jazz is okay, but it's always a bit of a disappointment because it's supposed to be different every time. That's the whole point. And in fact, Mark and I wrote a blog quite recently for cultureuniversity.com about creating the jazz mindset, if you like, for companies, because it's that the wonderful thing where nobody's in charge. You know, there's no boss of a jazz band. Everybody tries to help everybody else. And stuff happens in the moment and is instantly picked up by people who are masters of their craft, you know, but are happy to subsume their ego to the whole. You know, what matters is the whole performance, not your brilliant soul. So the whole jazz mindsets, and when you see really great players live, it's a fabulous thing.
Great. And what are you currently reading?
This morning was the Metro. The last thing I reading actually was rereading Machiavelli's The Prince, actually, strange enough, largely because it's connected to the book we're working on at the moment. And that's a very interesting book. So yeah, I mean, I think Jonathan and I are always reading various business books, trying to see what other people are writing about. That was my last one, The Prince.
So I reread The Prince recently because Mark had mentioned it's kind of scary how relevant the behaviour of princes in 16th century Renaissance Italy are very similar to the princes of modern corporate business. But I'm actually currently, I'm rereading Douglas McGregor, The Human Side of Enterprise, and I dip into it a lot. But it was written in 1960, and it was picked up by Daniel Pinkwood Drive, very much based, to be fair, he'd be credited, very much based on McGregor. But back in the 60s, McGregor was saying, we're doing this all wrong. We're assuming that people don't like work and we have to give them carrots and sticks to make them work. Whereas, in fact, we all do like work. And then what people need is engagement and goals, and people are self-motivated. So it's just sort of worrying that he was saying this, what are we now, nearly 50 years ago, and we still haven't really broken out of that kind of industrial mindset.
Fantastic. And on that note, pun not intended, but absolutely is. I would like to thank you guys for coming into the studio today with us and sharing us, you know, all this wonderful insight. And for those listening, of course, you can find links below to not only Lid Publishing, but Mark and John's work. So you can find out more about what they do and, of course, Perform to Win and My Steam Engine is Broken. I would like to thank you for joining us today, both of you.
Thank you.
It was absolutely great to have you. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Lid Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Miro.
Thank you very much. Bye.